Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So if you're tuning in today, you're probably past the point of just chasing one high alpha trade. You're ready to move into, well, professional territory. Today's Deep Dive isn't about finding one good trade. It's about designing a robust, modern trading system. We're going to be leveraging advanced strategies and the absolute cutting-edge features emerging in decentralized perpetual exchanges, the DEXs.
That's exactly right. The sources we've compiled and we've integrated practical design with some of the more advanced lessons, they all confirm the professional landscape has just fundamentally changed in the last year. I mean, new protocols are launching so fast, features are evolving, and if your system relies on approaches that are even 6 months old, you're leaving a lot of capital efficiency and execution quality on the table.
So our mission today is to integrate all these moving parts. We're focusing on three critical elements that really define a professional system right now. Capital efficiency, execution speed, and automation. We need to cut through the noise so you know precisely which emerging trends, like, say, yield-bearing collateral or account abstraction, are essential for you to adopt right now.
The focus is really on operational architecture. We're building a system that's designed not just to win, but to survive by diversifying against all the potential points of failure.
Okay, let's unpack that first core pillar right away, drawing from the sources, this idea of managing risk by diversifying across two crucial axes. This is really the foundation that separates a hobby trader from a professional fund.
Absolutely. The first axis is what we call protocol portfolio allocation. In a truly professional system, you just can't rely on a single exchange, not even a decentralized one. That exposes you to a catastrophic single point failure, whether it's an exploit, a governance failure, maybe a liquidity event. So the sources really highlight the necessity of allocating capital across multiple protocols. We're talking about platforms like Hyperliquid, GMXV2, Drift, EdgeX, or Extended.
It almost sounds like a traditional institutional prime brokerage, but for DeFi. You're spreading your counterparty risk across different independent smart contract models.
Precisely. And then the second axis is strategy diversification. You know, it's not enough to be on five different exchanges if you're just running the same strategy on all of them. You need to diversify what your capital is actually doing. So this means designing modules for directional trading, specialized modules for funding arbitrage, others for LP provision, and even cross-margin hedging.
And when you look at this through the lens of risk reduction, what's the immediate tangible benefit for you, the listener, who's trying to build this?
The benefit is a kind of nonlinear resilience. So if your directional trading hits a prolonged choppy period and suffers drawdowns, your uncorrelated strategy, like, you know, the often bland but steady funding arbitrage, that can continue to generate yield, or vice versa. By not relying on a single strategy's success or a single platform's security, you've built an essential shock absorber into the system.
Okay, let's pivot to the feature that really changes the cost of doing business here, that crucial shift toward capital efficiency. This is where your collateral stops earning 0% and starts working hard for you. We're talking about yield-bearing collateral, or YBC.
Right. The pain point YBC solves is just so clear. It's idle capital. Traditionally, if you want to open a perp position, you deposit USDC, maybe ETH. That collateral is just locked up. It's earning nothing. It's just sitting there waiting to cover potential losses. YBC completely flips that script by letting you use assets that are already generating yield as your collateral.
So give us the concrete examples from the source material. What specific assets are we actually seeing being used here?
Well, the primary examples are staked ETH variants, you know, like STETH, which right now is generating around 4% APR from network rewards. Or you've got stablecoin derivatives like SDAI, which can route into the DAI savings rate and earn, what, around 5% APR. You're getting that passive yield while you're also using the asset from margin.
Let's walk through the math from exercise 3 in the sources, because this is where the competitive edge really shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I want to open a long ETH per position, but the funding rate is negative, meaning I'm paying 10% APR to hold that position. That's a huge headwind.
It is. A 10% APR cost is painful. But if you use that STETH, which is already earning you 4% APR as your collateral, you immediately offset your funding costs. So you're effectively paying a net 6% APR on that long. The 4% from the collateral acts as this continuous subsidy. It drastically lowers your overall capital cost. And protocols like Extended are really key examples of places supporting this.
That is an undeniable advantage. But let me play devil's advocate for a second, like a professional trader would. If I'm using a volatile asset like STETH as my margin, and it depegs or drops significantly, even just a little, doesn't that instantly complicate the protocol's solvency model and potentially increase my liquidation risk since my collateral value is constantly changing?
That's the critical insight. YBC is not risk-free. The protocols offering it have these pretty sophisticated risk engines that are constantly monitoring the collateral ratio and the underlying asset's volatility. So if the asset, say Staithe, were to lose its peg relative to ETH, the protocol would instantly mark down its value as collateral. And that could potentially force you, the trader, into liquidation much sooner than if you had just used stable, non-yielding USDC. So yeah, while you gain capital efficiency, you do accept a subtle increase in liquidation complexity that has to be managed. It's a classic risk-reward trade-off.
Understanding that risk is absolutely essential. Okay, moving on. Efficiency isn't just about capital, it's about the user experience. Protocols are really fighting these historical DeFi friction points, things that stop new or institutional capital from even entering, using something called account abstraction, or AA.
Account abstraction, this move from simple crypto wallets to smart contract wallets, is solving the biggest UX headaches. Think of it like upgrading your simple checking account to a managed corporate account where you can customize all the rules of how it operates.
Okay, so if the smart contract wallet is the key, what are the immediate crucial benefits for the user?
There are two major points, and protocols like Extended are good examples. First, no bridge friction. Historically, if you wanted to trade on a high-speed L2 like Starknet using your MetaMask wallet from Ethereum, you had to go through this risky, time-consuming bridging process. With AA, a user with an EVM wallet can just sign transactions to trade natively on the L2 without ever having to explicitly bridge their assets. The AA layer handles it all seamlessly.
That eliminates days of headaches and, frankly, a lot of potential security risks. And the second benefit, it tackles that dreaded I gotta hold the native token problem.
Exactly. Gas abstraction. Before AA, if you ran out of the native L2 tokens, say ETH or SOL or whatever, you couldn't execute a transaction even if you had millions in USDC. Now, AA lets you pay transaction fees directly in the asset you're trading, like USDC. It removes a huge operational burden and just simplifies the whole onboarding process.
And the roadmaps also show future benefits, like social recovery options, which solves the private key risk and the ability to do batch transactions, so packaging multiple orders into a single, faster transaction.
It just creates a frictionless experience that starts to mirror the high-end CEXs, all while you maintain self-custody.
Okay, moving on to execution, we have to talk about speed and protection. The DAX space has embraced two massive trends here, mobile revolution and strategies to combat MEV.
On the mobile front, the data is just undeniable. Our sources show that over 70% of global retail volume starts on a mobile device, especially in fast-growing markets. This demand is forcing protocols to prioritize native apps over, you know, clunky mobile websites.
So why are native apps, like the AEDGX example we saw, such a huge advantage for professional strategies? I mean, isn't mobile web good enough?
It's absolutely not good enough, especially for professional strategies. For scalpers, native apps just give you much faster execution. For high-frequency stuff, those milliseconds really matter. They also provide persistent connections, which prevents browser throttling or those sudden disconnects that lead to stale market data.
And for someone managing a large overnight swing position, the difference between a sub-100 millisecond alert and a delayed one could be the difference between a small fee and a full liquidation.
Precisely. Reliable push notifications are non-negotiable for swing traders. Plus, you get hardware-level security through biometric security Face ID or Touch ID to sign critical transactions, which is a major security upgrade over just a password on a mobile browser.
All right, now let's tackle the execution hurdle everyone worries about. MEV. We all know MEV bots traditionally front-run orders, extracting value either from LPs or directly from traders, which leads to slippage.
It's a fundamental challenge to fair execution on-chain, but the newest systems are starting to solve this through MEV internalization, using mechanisms like drifts just-in-time or JIT auctions.
Walk us through how JIT flips that script.
Well, instead of a traditional front-running situation, JIT introduces an auction layer. When a large order comes in, the JIT mechanism broadcasts this demand to specialized arbitragers. And these arbitragers are then forced to compete to fill your order. But, and this is the key, they have to offer a better price than the existing AMM would.
So the value that the MEV bot would normally just extract for itself is instead funneled back to the user as price improvement.
It is internalized. The JIT approach basically transforms the typical MEV extractor into a competitive liquidity provider. It improves execution quality and protects the LPs from getting picked off.
That shift is huge. But if JIT is so effective at guaranteeing price improvement, why haven't all the order book DXs implemented it? What are the limitations or the overhead costs there?
That's a sharp question. The reason it's not universal is really the complexity. You have to build the secondary auction layer and attract enough competitive arbitragers to make the system work well. It requires a specific architecture, robust off-chain mechanisms to guarantee the speed and settlement of the JIT order, which is just harder for newer or smaller protocols to do right away. It's a real investment in infrastructure, but one that is clearly paying off in execution quality.
Okay, now let's shift into combining these features for the most complex professional strategies, starting with the concept of unified margin.
Unified margin systems are a huge leap in structural efficiency. Instead of these siloed accounts, one for spot, one for perps, one for lending, you have a single aggregated margin pool that extends across all products. Protocols like Extended and Drift are adopting this model because it enables a much more holistic approach to risk.
And that means portfolio-level risk management. So what does that actually mean for you, the professional learner?
It means your collateral requirements are calculated across your entire book, not just individual positions. You can use your spot holdings as collateral for a perp short without any manual transfers. It increases capital velocity and it unlocks strategies like the one we saw in Exercise 9, cross-product hedging.
Which brings us directly to prediction market integration. The source material outlines this really fascinating strategy using Drift's BET platform, which integrates prediction markets with perps through unified margin.
This is highly nuanced trading. So imagine a major high-impact political event is coming up. The sources lay out the logic. You can long up a Trump wins prediction market, you're betting on the political outcome, while you simultaneously short BTC PRP.
And why are you shorting Bitcoin in that scenario?
Because the market expects that specific geopolitical outcome to cause a short-term sell-off or, you know, an uncertainty spike in highly liquid risk-on assets like Bitcoin. By longing the prediction market and shorting the asset, you're isolating the event risk. You're basically betting on the reaction to the event no matter what the general market does leading up to it. And unified margin allows this because you can use the same pool of capital to open both positions instantly.
That's trading the systemic effect, not just the price trend. It's a perfect illustration of how these new systems unlock higher order strategies. Okay, finally, let's talk automation. Monitoring these complex multi-protocol systems 24/7 is impossible for a human.
Right, and automation is really bifurcated. First, you have specialized bot strategies. The sources spend a lot of time detailing the requirements for building a funding rate arbitrage bot. It requires constant monitoring of funding rates across protocols, execution only when the opportunity is above a defined APR threshold, and the crucial step of maintaining delta neutrality across all positions.
And the benefit, of course, is 24/7 monitoring. You're capturing opportunities that open and close in the middle of the night.
Exactly. The other path is outsourcing via vault strategies. The extended automated vault example shows you can just deposit USDC, and the vault manager executes a predefined, complex, strategy-like market making or basis trading on your behalf. Historically, these can generate very high APYs, sometimes up to 25% during periods of high volatility.
But the source material is really adamant that while these vaults are convenient, they introduce multiple new layers of risk that you have to address before you deploy capital.
Absolutely essential to note. When you delegate execution, you introduce three critical risks. First, vault manager risk, the human factor. Is the manager competent, secure, trustworthy? Second, strategy risk. The strategy itself might just fail, especially in a black swan event. It could wipe out capital even if the platform is totally secure. And third, counterparty risk still remains, even if diversified, depending on which protocols the vault is interacting with. Automation is a huge force multiplier, but you're trading control for convenience.
So, synthesizing everything we've covered, what does this aggressive innovation pace really imply for the future structure of professional trading?
Well, the clear trend is this race towards super app ecosystems. Roadmaps from protocols like Drift and Extended, they show a convergence where a single platform seamlessly has spot trading, perpetuals, and lending all linked by unified margin. This really underpins the convergence thesis. DXs are rapidly matching or even exceeding the speed and feature richness of high-end CXs, you know, like the CX-like performance you see on Hyperliquid. But crucially, they're maintaining that core value proposition of self-custody.
It's about getting institutional-grade features without giving up control. So to summarize the critical shifts, let's just list the four most important takeaways that are shaping this future landscape based on the source material.
Okay. First, the rise of real yield. LPs are increasingly paid by real trading fees, which is sustainable, not token emissions, which is not. Second, account abstraction is just essential for streamlining the user experience and onboarding new capital. Third, yield-bearing collateral is no longer optional. It's now the base layer for capital optimization.
And fourth, privacy features, things like Aster's Pro Mode or hidden orders, are a growing necessity, and that's being driven by institutional traders who just can't tolerate the front-running and transparency risks of fully public order books.
And we'll leave you with one final provocative thought, which is derived from the self-assessment included in the source material. The market is demanding a new level of competence. If you're relatively new to this professional system design, the advice is clear. Prioritize implementing mobile apps, master AA, and start using YBC immediately.
But if you consider yourself an advanced or professional trader, the bar is much higher. The expectation is that you must be actively exploring and implementing MEV protection strategies like JIT and engaging in complex automated multi-chain arbitrage.
The ultimate message for you, the learner, is the constant necessity of adaptation. The sources ask you to self-rate your skills in automation and adopting new trends. If that rating isn't a 4 out of 5 or higher, the current market environment dictates that you need to continue exploring and adopting these new features and protocols. You have to keep building, or you will quickly become the liquidity that others are extracting value from.
Keep learning, keep building, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.